Are labor unions on the brink? Labor leaders had pinned their hopes on a new bill in Congress called the Employee Free Choice Act. They hoped something called a card check would be part of that bill. It makes it easier for employees to unionize. We have a couple folks with us. Anya Kamenetz, friend of The Takeaway and writer for Fast Company. We've also got Andy Stern, president of the Service Employees International Union, one of the largest unions in the U.S. I want to jump right in. Andy, there's a card check option. What is a card check?
Well, there's a bill that allows some leveling of the playing field here. And what it basically says is just like when you vote for your board of directors in a company, you know, when a majority of people cast a ballot, sign a card, a proxy statement, it allows you to have an organization. Just begin to bargain with your employer, you know, about your wages and benefits and your future.
Your union has 2 million members in North America. It looks like this card check option may be eliminated from the legislation. If you can't help swing this, what's going to happen to your union and others?
Well, first of all, you know, I would say this is just part of the legislative process for anyone who's been watching a health care bill. I wish we all could predict, you know, how it was going to come out. And I think, you know, the bill's going to have amendments. There's going to be a version introduced in the House. So I think, you know, there's a long way to go. But here's the problem. American workers are facing the worst economic crisis in history. American workers, as you said in the recent headlines, are sharing in the pain. And the real question is, when the economy turns around, are we going to share in the gain? I mean, Goldman Sachs just, you know, reported $3 billion of profits. They own companies like Aramark, you know, food service workers, low-paid workers. And when those workers want to have an organization, have a union, you know, what do? They hire high-priced lawyers, they interrogate and they fire people. They even hold dues from the union even when they win the election. So we have to decide, do we want a Goldman Sachs economy or do we want an economy that works for everyone? The Employee Free Choice Act lets workers make that choice.
All right. I want to turn to Anya. You are a writer for Fast Company magazine. You've been tracking these issues. Just give us a sense of the state of unions.
Well, so the state of unions today is in some areas weaker than it's ever been, right? The percentage of unionization in the U.S. workforce peaked back in 1954 at 28%, and now it's at 12%. So it's a really precipitous drop. You know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported just a couple weeks ago that we'd gone 7 months without any major labor action, and that was the longest period that we've gone without any labor action involving more than 1,000 workers since 1981. So even at this time when workers are feeling this desperation, they're feeling really without options. I mean, you heard at the top of the hour or just now, you know, the Boston Globe, well, unions being forced to give up concessions in a time of economic desperation. So, you know, I guess the question is, are unions really positioned to be the ones strengthening workers?
What about the political ramifications of unions? Because it's not just about the numbers, is it? There's also the effect of government liaisons.
Well, I think that the heroic work of organizers like Andy Stern, who has really become a leader in, you know, the progressive movement in general, not just for workers, but, you know, what labor unions have always done really well is organized. And, you know, they're able to turn people out for elections. They're able to turn people out for rallies and for political actions. And that has led to them maybe occupying an outsized position in the political landscape as opposed to their actual position for, you know, most Americans.
Let me turn to Andy Stern. This is Lynn Scherr. In view of what Anya just said, Andy, are labor unions becoming obsolete? Is there a danger of that?
Well, I think there's a danger if we don't do something about this law that, you know, we see in political elections, unions have a certain amount of influence because the elections are fair. You know, we don't ask people at work, are you a Democrat or Republican? We don't, you know, follow them around when they leave work. We don't interrogate them. We let people exercise their free choice. And I think the question for American labor unions is we have laws now where 34% of employers fire people when they want to have a union. 73% hire these high-priced consultants. People wait 7 years for justice. You know, we couldn't win an American democracy political elections if we had those kind of rules. And I think what we're trying to do right now is just level the playing field, make it fair. And I think you will see, as you saw in the 30s with Roosevelt when they changed the rules, not just unions come back, but the middle class come back, because that's really the question here. Or is we going to have the Goldman Sachs Walmart economy, or is everyone going to share not just in the pain, but in the gains?
Andy Stern, president of the State Employee International Union. Farai?
Yes. Andy, your union is so big, and you're not just in the U.S. You are in other parts of North America. When I think about what is going on in this economy today. You're talking about companies, big companies doing well, workers not doing well. But don't unions like yours actually bear some of the responsibility for making choices, for example, to protect higher wage union jobs and not expand your base?
Well, I can only speak to our union. We've spent the last several years doing, the largest campaign for African-American workers in the history of the labor movement, which is organizing security guards from coast to coast. We've been organizing women who take care of children in their home, family child care providers. We've been organizing home care workers. We've actually brought some dignity, some respect in some ways for people, have these in jobs that are invisible, and janitors as well, to begin to find a way into the middle class. So I think unions are trying to make the changes that are necessary. We're working with community organizations on trying to make these green jobs, good jobs. I think the question is, are we going to have a country where people get to make, a free choice, or are we going to have a political system that allows employers, to run rampant in Washington and run rampant when it comes to union elections?
All right. Anya Kamenetz from Fast Company, you get the last word. Are we expecting that this bill in some form, maybe without card check, is a done deal and will be approved?
I hope that it's going to be approved. I think it's going to be approved. I think that, the consensus is changing somewhat. Whether or not unions can do it alone and bring back the middle class all by themselves, I don't know.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Anya Kamenetz, writer for Fast Company magazine and author of the book Generation Dead, and Andy Stern, president of SEIU, that's the Service Employees International Union. Thank you both.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.